Peace be with you. A moment of stillness. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us of the risen Christ this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Early Saturday morning, just 2 weeks ago, the morning opened up with crystal blue skies. As I looked down into our garden, I saw that our magnolia tree was about to burst into life. As I looked at it, these words came to my mind. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. I began to wonder if this spring had somehow taken on greater significance than in many other years. Has the awakening of spring after the dreadful rigors of COVID-19 made us much more aware that life has a beautiful habit of speaking to us of something which is infinitely more powerful? And somehow we're having our eyes opened afresh that resurrection life is all around us, restoring a sense of wonder and hope of life. And I hope that is so for all of us this Easter morning. Last Sunday morning, our ordinand Dawn Lucas shared with us the story of Palm Sunday. According to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was 6 days before the celebration of the Passover festival. Dawn reminded us that Passover remembers the night the angel of death passed over Egypt and delivered the children of Israel from slavery under the Egyptians. They were delivered because they smeared the blood of an unblemished lamb on their doorposts. Now, 1,500 years later, they were in effect in slavery to another conquering power. It's only 3 days ago that we remembered Jesus going to his death on Good Friday. It was his blood that was shed on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is his blood that has brought about an utterly unique freedom. It wasn't freedom from an occupying power. It was a completely different freedom, as Dawn reminded us. Firstly, it sets us free from sin that holds us in its grip, and it sets us free from the curse of death. The slavery of sin and death was irrevocably and finally broken forever. Whilst many in Britain may not know the true ending to this story these days, for those who follow the way of Christ, the story from today's Gospel of John has taken on a familiarity so that we hardly pause to listen. We can so easily be distracted. But its power lies in an age when women's voices were not heard or allowed as evidence. They were regarded as second-class citizens, yet John has no hesitation in telling us that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. A few verses later, John records that it's Jesus who appeared to Mary. Jesus truly turned the first century world upside down as he regarded women in the highest esteem. This Easter morning, we're taken back to early in the morning. It's the first day of the week, and Mary and the other disciples have been observing the Sabbath. Their minds must have been in turmoil, going over the events of the last few days. Trying to be faithful in keeping the Sabbath must have been so hard. Clearly, Mary was bursting to get back to the tomb, leaving so early that it was still dark. But when she arrived, to her horror, the stone had been moved away. And she must have been in a state of shock, wondering what on earth had happened. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple. This wasn't the news they were expecting, and they immediately left for the tomb. No one knew at this point that the scriptures had said that he had to rise from the dead. If you followed our Lent series of The Chosen, you'll have watched Mary's story unfold from a place of degradation to freedom and transformation. So it's not a surprise that as she sees his body is gone, that she fears she will never have closure for her grief. But then she turns around. Isn't it beautiful that the first words of the new covenant are a question, not an announcement, not an answer, but quietly considerate question addressed to a weeping woman? Why? Why? Jesus wants to know, are you weeping? But it's also a profound question, and with hindsight, even a funny one too. Jesus, the God you may confuse with a gardener, simply speaks Mary's name. Easter dawns with a question and a name. The tenderness of Jesus speaking to Mary by name, giving her worth and a reason to continue the new life she had entered into, is beautiful. It's beautiful. It also echoes John 10, verse 3, when Jesus says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, Mary, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. His own, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jenny, John, Ian, Nora, Maureen, Caroline, Irene, Sylvia, Katie, and many others. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, I saw the Master, and she told them everything he said to her. Mary becomes the apostle to the apostles, proclaiming the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead has changed everything for everyone for the whole of time. Here in the West, I'm struck that many people have everything, need nothing, and mortality is something we don't want or need to talk about, and so we ignore it. I am reminded of the resurrection story in chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. When the women looked into the tomb, they were confronted by two men who said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? From my observation, too many people are looking for the living among the dead. By that I mean their security is in things which on the surface seem both good and necessary, but in terms of eternity are dead. Why? Why do we look for the living amongst the dead? This past Wednesday, Watergate mastermind G. Gordon Liddy died at the age of 90. Liddy remained unapologetic for his part in the plan to bug the Democrats' headquarters at the Watergate building during the Republicans' 1972 re-election campaign, and the scandal led to the resignation of then-President Richard Nixon. But it wasn't so with all the conspirators. One of those arrested and convicted was Charles Colson, special counsel to the president. During his time, this time, Charles Colson gave his life to Christ, and he knew transformation. And this is what he wrote about the truth of the resurrection. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. This Easter morning, though, is not perhaps quite so bright for the families of the 127,000 people that have died due to the pandemic. They have faced acute pain and loss, and it's this that I want to speak to for a few moments as we contrast Mary's joy, our joy, and our own joy at the power of the resurrection. Recently, I watched a French film on Netflix entitled Du Jour au Noir, 10 Golden Days. Later, as I was sharing the story with Sylvia, she said, "Ah, that story is based a little on Candide by Voltaire, written back in 1758. In the introduction to Sylvia's copy of that book are written these words: Voltaire was the wittiest writer in an age of great wits, and Candide is his wittiest novel. The subject he chose to exercise his wit upon in this novel is one which concerns all of us. Surprisingly enough, the subject is the problem of suffering. We are all confronted at some time with this difficulty, that the Creator has made a universe where suffering abounds. Can we believe that he is at all concerned with men and their sufferings? In times of widespread disasters, such questioning becomes more general and more urgent. We are living in such times, and so was Voltaire. There is no easy answer. So hesitantly, the only answer that we can offer to all in the midst of the pain and suffering which they are experiencing, which for many recently has been acute. We as Christians believe the unimaginable has happened. We believe that God, the Creator, who has seen the suffering that we all face, decided to enter this beautiful but broken created world and become one of us. He looks like us. He looked like you. He looked like me. God chose to undergo the most acute suffering on our behalf. Jesus was broken because we are broken. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. If we are truly aware of what happened that Easter morning, and have made a deep and lasting commitment to follow him, then we too will at least desire that everyone we meet will recognize the risen Jesus in us. Tom Wright, in his biography, St. Paul, writes these words: We are God's poetry, God's artwork. God has accomplished and will accomplish the entire new creation in the Messiah and by the Spirit. When someone believes the gospel and discovers its life transforming power, that person becomes a small but significant working model of that new creation. The point of being human is to be an image bearer, to reflect God's wisdom and order into the world, to be able to stand at the threshold of heaven and earth. To be able to stand at the threshold of heaven and earth for the whole of Dorking and for the wider parish. And my prayer for each one of us here today is that we will have confidence that we will be counted, that we will be counted as the living and not the dead. A God-possessed people, like Mary, who came to the tomb expecting to find a dead body, but left proclaiming the risen Christ. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. So on this Easter day, as this new day dawns, in the words of Hosea, let us press on. Let us press on to know him. Then he will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. I pray that each one of us, from whatever situation we have just come, will know the reality and the joy of new life, of forgiveness and peace. If today you are a seeker, may you find God himself. If you are lonely, may you find friendship with God. If you are guilty, may you find forgiveness from God. May the sick find healing from God. May the hopeless find hope in God. And may we all know the wonder of this glorious Easter message. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Amen.